We hold up the light. 516-387.
Hi, I'm Lauren Letellier.
I'm Chris Atkins. We're volunteers at the Rojan Library.
And this is WGXC, Acre, Hudson, and Catskill.
Hear music and sounds, radio art and melodies, every day from 11 a.m. until 4 p.m. on WGXC 90.7 FM. Weekdays, there is all sorts of local talk, interviews with your friends and neighbors, music from down in the valley, previews of local events and more, weekdays from 4 to 8 p.m. Then stay tuned for WGXC Live at 8 p.m. with live DJs, live events, live broadcasts, and more on the radio at 90.7 FM and WGXC.org. WGXC underwriting support is provided by Gemini Construction, a full-service contracting firm specializing in complete electrical construction services. Gemini Construction, serving Greene and surrounding counties for over 40 years. For more information, contact 518-622-9829.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Ruby's Hotel and Restaurant in Freehold, New York. Sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about Creative Community Radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You, too, can become a WGXC sustaining supporter by investing in community radio every month. Go to WGXC.org and click Donate. Thank you for your support.
You've tuned to the WGXC Local News Weekend Update. Go to the WGXC Newsroom at WGXC.org for more information about any of these stories. Sarah Trafton is reporting for Columbia Greene Media that with 38 men in custody, the new Greene County Jail could be at or near capacity when it opens in July. The jail will consist of 12 cells for women and 48 for men. Some of the cells will be reserved for people with distinct classifications and therefore unavailable to the general population. Greene County Legislature Chair Patrick Linger estimated there are about 34 or 36 general population cells to house men. Quote, if you take the 48 male beds and take out the classification cells, what we have furnished is pretty much full, unquote, he said. The jail contains 80 cells, but only 64 are furnished with bunks, sinks, toilets, and desks. In the event the county requires more space, the special classification cells could be used, Linger said. Quote, on a temporary basis, we can apply to use them for the general population, but they're not supposed to be used for permanent general population, unquote, he said. The county also has the option to furnish the upper floor of one of the pods, and some cells are designed for double occupancy. Quote, with Commission of Correction approval, we can double bunk up to 20% of the cells, unquote, Linger said. Until the new facility opens, individuals locked up by Greene County are being housed at the Albany, Ulster, and Columbia County jails at the cost of $70 to $75 per day per person. The majority of jail construction was completed on schedule by January 24th. The State Commission of Correction will make its final inspection in April. Read more about this story at HudsonValley360.com. Mid-Hudson News is reporting that the video gaming operation originally planned for the Harriman area of Orange County will now be located at the former Bon Ton department store space at the Newburgh Mall on Union Avenue in the town of Newburgh. State Senator James Skoufis has been heavily involved in the negotiation with Resorts World Catskills that will allow the company to operate the electronic gaming operation as a supplement to its Kimiyashi Lake Las Vegas-style casino in Sullivan County. Skoufis said before the mall location can open, it must go through all the appropriate local approvals. He said aside from the construction jobs, including for those living in the city of Newburgh, which has a high unemployment rate. Skoufis said he expects the gaming operation to attract high-end dining venues and other business opportunities to the mall. Read more about this story at MidHudsonNews.com. Lila Schneider is reporting for Columbia Greene Media that the Galvin Foundation has requested separate payment in lieu of taxes agreements for two proposed housing developments. the mixed income site at 6575 North 7th Street, and market rate housing at 708 State Street in the city of Hudson. The foundation has asked for a 75% tax reduction for the State Street building during the first 10 years and a 5% decrease from years 11 to 25, then paying full taxes by year 26 of the agreement. The application for the North 7th Street project requests a 30-year term and a pilot payment of 10% of the total new rental income. Galvin would pay $54,340 in year one for its mixed income building, growing accordingly with rent increases. Galvin defended the request, arguing the deal on the State Street building would result in more than 155 jobs during construction and 38 jobs during operations, while the 7th Street development would result in more than 155 jobs during construction and 38 jobs during operations, all from the county. The applications were filed through the Hudson Industrial Development Agency after an attempt to negotiate a pilot agreement with the Hudson Common Council for the North 7th Street location failed. The State Street building will contain 63 market-rate apartments, and 75 units are planned for the North 7th Street building. Of those 75 units, 70% are intended for households earning between minimum wage and $65,000 a year. 30% will be offered at market rate. The buildings are part of the Galvin's plan to develop what the foundation has dubbed the Depot District and, quote, upstreet, unquote, area on the city's north side. Read more about this story at HudsonValley360.com and read more about any of these stories in the WGXC newsroom at WGXC.org. The National Weather Service in Albany predicts snow on Sunday, and there's more snow the farther south you go, with 1 to 3 inches predicted in northern Greene and Columbia counties and 3 to 6 inches reported in the southern areas of those counties and in Dutchess and Ulster counties. Temperatures should be 29 on Sunday, and Sunday night should fall to around 11 with wind chill values as low as zero. Monday, isolated snow showers are possible. There's a 20% chance. Otherwise, it'll be mostly sunny with a high near 24 and wind chill values as low as negative 2. Monday night, again, there's a chance of snow after 1 a.m., a 30% chance, with cloudy skies and low around 12. Tuesday, snow is likely, again, a 60% chance with a high of 30 and a low around 14. You're listening to the radio, WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, Hudson, radio for open ears.
Toronto's Park Rabbit Trio bridges the divide between acoustic and electronic keyboards with music that spans across genres, and we'll sample their pan-stylistic sound on the next Deep Threes. Plus music from A&D, CKZ, and Freddie Hubbard. Deep Threes. Where will the music take you?
Tune in to Deep Threes after the noon news on Monday at WGXC 90.7 FM.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Marxist of Ghent, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. Become a WGXC sustaining supporter today. Go to WGXC.org and click Donate. Thank you for your support.
Welcome, radio listeners. You're listening to Bound by Books Youth Radio on WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, and Hudson, listener-supported radio for open ears. I'm Emily. I'm the director of the Hudson Area Library, and I'm from Hudson.
I'm Georgia, and I'm from Ghent.
I'm Lena, and I'm from Hudson.
And we're here every week talking about books.
Books we love, books we hate, bookish
things.
We're often joined by some of our friends, Amelia, Mashuda, Fatia, AJ, but the last couple of weeks it's been three of us, so they better watch out. We're going to take over, and we're going to be the bosses of Bound by Books.
You heard it right here. We're the new bosses, people.
Virginia, that we have taken over Bound by Books. Yes.
Yes, we are the rulers. Yeah. We are alien invaders.
Just kidding. Don't tell them our secrets.
No. I'm just an alien bear. You guys were already here. By the way, can you just say that holy alien? Yeah, that thing's still.
No, it's too late. They know our secrets now. We've been busted.
No, but yes. We've been busted.
But for aliens, we're very well read. We read a lot of great books and we talk about them on the show.
Yeah.
That's good.
Things.
Yeah, speaking of bookish things, WGXC, which is the radio station that we're on, is celebrating 10 years of being on the air.
Woo!
This month.
Yay!
I think the actual anniversary is at the end of the month. I don't have the exact date in my head. But Bound by Books has basically been on the radio since WGXC launched. So me and my friend Quinn, who I think was 10 or 11 at the time, started doing a radio show that we did not yet have a name for. And we mostly talked about books. And we started right when the station launched.
Didn't you guys almost name it Donkey Cabbages?
That's true.
You did? You did? Well,
I don't know about almost. We momentarily somewhat joked about, should we call the radio Donkey Cabbages?
Donkey Cabbages?
Which is the name of a Grimm's fairy tale. Like a really weird
Donkey
Grimm's.
Cabbages.
Yeah, look it up. It's a good one. Although it's not really a good one, but it's a weird one. But we were trying to decide what to call the show. I don't remember how we came up with Bound by Books. I don't remember if I came up with it. I don't remember if Quinn did or one of our other hosts.
And why it's weird but not weird. It's fun but not fun. It's crazy but not crazy. It's odd but not odd. It's
Donkey Cabbages.
Quintical, but not asti matiati quintical. It's supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. No, it's not supercal. Okay, I'm just going to stop.
One of our alien invaders has lost her brains.
Yes.
It's all that space travel.
Yes.
It gets to a brain.
That space travel, lying around space with no helmet, just normal human clothes, some damage to this noggin.
Anyways, so why don't we share some of the books that we've been reading?
Yes. Who wants to go first?
I guess I will.
Yay.
So for those who don't know, I like the game Five Nights at Freddy's. And this Sunday, while we were dropping my sister off at Oneonta because she has to go to college, me and my brother were at Walmart with my sister. And so I found the book Five Nights at Freddy's, The Silver Eyes, the graphic novel. And it's by Scott Cawthon, who I'm pretty sure is the creator of Five Nights at Freddy's. And Claudia Shorter, I don't know how to pronounce it. She has a weird O in her name. How do you pronounce this?
I think Schroeder.
Claudia Schroeder and Kira Breed Ristley, I think?
Sure.
And so I'll read the back to you guys. So it says, first ever Five Nights at Freddy's graphic novel, an adaptation of the number one New York Times bestseller, The Silver Eyes. 10 years later, after the horrific murders at Freddy Fazbear's Pizza that ripped their town apart, Charlie, whose father owned the restaurant, and her childhood friends reunite on the anniversary of the tragedy and find themselves at the old pizza place, which had been locked up and abandoned for years. After they discover a way inside, they realize that things are not the way they used to be. The four adult-sized animatronic mascots that once entertained patrons have changed. They now have a dark secret, and a murderous agenda, complete with new information and tense, terrifying illustrations. Fans won't want to miss this graphic novel adaptation by Scott Cawthon, Kira Breed Ristley, and Claudia Schrother, whose stunning artwork has been featured in the games.
Very cool. I have a question because I don't know this game series. Is it have a story to it? Like, is it, or is it kind of random? Like, is there a story development, character development that happens?
There is a story development, but in the game, you basically don't know who you're playing as. You just play as yourself. It's like a first person game, you know, those kinds of games.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, what you have to do is just like survive the night because all the animatronics are trying to kill you. And I have the games from 1 to 4, and my brother only watches it, me play it because it's scary. And he likes seeing me scared. But,
nice.
Yeah, but like, you basically have to survive the night. Try not to make the power go out, or else you might die. Yeah, which is real sad. But there is a storyline to it, I'm pretty sure. Either this is just something that people in the fandom made up from it, or this is in the storyline, but I'm pretty sure this is in the storyline. So basically, this whole entire thing starts with the Aftons, I presume, because apparently majority of their names aren't actually the names in the game. But like Clara, her name is actually Rose in the game, apparently. I don't know. But apparently Michael, who is the bigger brother of Chris Afton, and you play as him in the fourth game, because he has these, like, scary teddy bears, and his nightmares come to life. I'm pretty sure you have to play as him during Sister Location also. But, like, to be honest, the storyline is kind of confusing, because I've been only following the storyline that the fans made up. But there are a few things that are similar and the same that other fans made up, but apparently, the whole entire Afton family is, like, dead, but they're alive at the same time. Don't know. If you want to go research more into it, because I'm bad at words, you can do that.
I bet people that know the game know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, but I might try to give you a short story, like, of how stuff progresses if you want.
Sure.
Oh, on the show?
If you want.
On the show? For people who don't understand. So basically, Michael Afton, he basically is like over here, and he bullies his like little brother, Chris Afton. I'm just going to call them by their names that I know, not their original names. And Elizabeth, she just is like, no, stop bullying Chris. And then eventually, and like the parents do nothing. I don't know where the parents are. But they just do nothing, and all they do is, like, stop bullying him, Michael. Stop. Just stop. And so eventually, it's Chris's birthday, and Michael and his quote-unquote friends, were like, oh, hey, we have an idea. Let's play a prank on Chris. Let's put him in the mouth of Fred Bear. And so they take Chris, and then they put him in the mouth of Fred Bear, and then, like, Elizabeth is like, stop, don't do it. And like Chris is over here crying, and then he just stops crying because the mouth closed on his head neck thing. And then basically, I don't really know what happens to Clara, but apparently she drove off a cliff because she was so sad that Chris died. And I'm pretty sure it was because like she wasn't paying attention. Apparently William went insane. Michael's guts got scooped out, and Elizabeth got pulled into an animatronic because the claw and circus baby just, like, grabbed onto her and then pulled her in instead of her, like, animatronic body. If you want, you can cut out the what I just said.
This is the game storyline?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure this is what the game storyline is. Like, this is, like, the backstory towards the things that happen. But none of this, I guess, is really important. I'm pretty sure all that is important is William, because he technically started this whole entire thing. Because when I said he went crazy, is he started killing kids and putting their souls in animatronics. And the animatronics turn on at night, and, like, they are like, hey, that's him. The night guard. That's not a night guard. That's him. But I'm pretty sure in game one, they're just over here like, oh, you're our friend, buddy. You got to get in your suit. Stop messing around. You're an exoskeleton. And so they think they're trying to help you out. But like, yeah. And I'm pretty sure. I'm confused, kind of, about what's going on. But I'm pretty sure in half of the games they're trying to kill you, and they know you're a human being. And the other half of the games, they're over here like, oh, hey there, friend. You need to get back in your suit. You are an exoskeleton, so you need to get back in your suit, buddy. But I'm pretty sure that might be only the first game or something like that. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe you're playing different characters in the different games.
Yeah, though I'm pretty sure you play as Michael Afton the whole entire time. Yeah. I don't know, but my brother claims that you're just playing as yourself.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
It's very interesting. I know Amelia talked about some, I think they were novellas maybe, like collection of shorter stories.
Maybe.
That she was reading that were based on that game that she really liked.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure she was like talking about the Five Nights at Freddy's one that I was talking about. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Very cool. I hope you continue to enjoy your book.
Yes, thank you. I hope I do too. Well, actually, I finished
it. And I hope it's not too scary.
But I finished the book today.
Oh, you did? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, I hope you enjoyed it. And
yeah.
If you read it again, that you enjoy it again.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, if you buy this graphic novel, there's going to be some blood in it and dead body.
Yeah.
Bodies. Yeah. So just like a little heads up.
Yeah. Thanks for sharing. How about Georgia? Do you have a book you wanted to talk about? Less blood, maybe?
Definitely less blood. It is called Wonder.
Ah, yeah.
One. My grandmother gave it to me. My Nana gave it to me, my coach.
Your Nana's your coach?
Oh, it's what I call my grandparents on one side. I call my grandfather on that side, coach. And I call my grandmother on that side, Nana. Anyways, so it is a really good book. It's about a boy who was born with a facial difference. And he's finally going to a real school, and he is really worried that he won't fit in, and he doesn't fit in, and he doesn't want to go to school, and it really switches points of view. There are some with his sister, Via, some with Miranda, and there's just so much in there that changes everything. I can't say too much, because every little move changes everything.
Mm-hmm. That takes place over, like, one school year, right? Like, his first year at school?
Yeah.
I read it a while ago, so I don't remember it too much, but I remember liking it. And I liked the shifting perspectives as well. I thought that was interesting.
I liked Via's part, to be honest.
Why did you like her part the most?
I don't know. It's just really cool to see it from actually a girl's like you. I also like Summer's point of view, especially Summer's.
Partly. Summer's one of the classmates?
Yeah, it's Augie's friend. Augie is the main character. And what happened is she's friends with him, and all of the popular girls try to get her to like be in her group, and they invite her to a party, and she just doesn't like being without Augie, so she like hides until her mom comes to get her, and she just really is friends with Augie, and she's a friend with him all along the way.
I think you also get, do you get the perspective of one of his classmates that's not as nice to him and not as accepting?
I think so.
If I remember correctly. Have you seen the movie that they made of it?
They made a movie of it?
Mm-hmm.
How come I have not heard about it?
I don't know. I haven't seen it before.
Oh, is it on Amazon or Netflix?
I don't know. I think it was a movie, like a theatrical release. So I don't know where you can watch it now, but I bet there's some libraries that have it too. So you could probably borrow it on DVD if you have a DVD player or a computer that will play DVDs.
I've never really borrowed DVDs from a library ever. I've always just read.
We've got both. Lots of books, lots of DVDs, lots of other stuff.
The kids section there at the Hudson Library is also amazing. My little sister, Zadie, she's so adorable. She's 3 years old, and she plays in the kids section whenever I'm reading books. She has so much fun there. Once she had a fit because she couldn't take home the big bird stuffed animal. That's how much she loved
it. Yeah, she's not alone. We've had other kids that get attached to the toys that are there and want to take them home and do not like being told that they can't keep them. But that's how we learn. We can't keep everything that we want because it doesn't belong to us.
Everybody's just so nice there.
Yeah, we have a good crew here and lots of nice people that come here too. Even nice children that try to steal our stuffed animals. We like them, even though. It's actually somewhat charming when a child starts like screaming and wailing on the way out the door because they don't want to leave the library.
It's funny. And
like, they love us. They really love us.
Everybody started staring at us one day because she was like, ah! And everybody was like,
oh.
Because it's just like, ah! And my entire family, me, my mom, my dad, were all like, shh, shh, this is the library. You're supposed to be quiet.
And somehow children have the like strongest, loudest lungs, like most powerful lungs. They can like really hit those high notes.
I used to practice screaming in the bath with my little sister.
Oh, that's where she learned it.
Well,
I'm just kidding.
So luckily, I think I've kept the strong lungs a lot longer than most people have been able to. If like a kid's really far away, once a kid was really far away and my teacher tried calling to her, but she was really far away. So I screamed, come over. I scream it much louder. and she is like, geez, okay. She ran over. I was so loud. It is loud for her. Okay, I'm going to give you a turn because I know so I'm trailing off. About lungs.
Lungs are important. So what I wanted to do today was to highlight a couple books that are coming out this week or next week that I thought sounded really good. The first one is called Fat Chance Charlie Vega by Crystal Maldonado. And this is the description. Coming of age as a fat brown girl in a white Connecticut suburb is hard. Harder when your whole life is on fire, though. Charlie Vega is a lot of things. Smart, funny, artistic, ambitious, fat. People sometimes have a problem with that last one, especially her mom. Charlie wants a good relationship with her body, but it's hard, and her mom leaving a billion weight loss shakes on her dresser doesn't help. The world and everyone in it have ideas about what she should look like. Thinner, lighter, slimmer-faced, straighter-haired. Be smaller, be whiter, be quieter. But there's one person who's always in Charlie's corner, her best friend, Amelia. Slim, popular, athletic, totally dope. So when Charlie starts a tentative relationship with cute classmate Brian, the first worthwhile guy to notice her, everything is perfect until she learns one thing. He asked Amelia out first. So is she his second choice or what? Does he even really see her? Because it's time people did. A sensitive, funny, and painful coming-of-age story with a wry voice and tons of chisme. Fat Chance Charlie Vega tackles our relationships to our parents, our bodies, our cultures, and ourselves. I've been hearing a lot of great things about this book, and I'm really excited to read it. So that's Fat Chance Charlie Vega by Crystal Maldonado, and it was released on February 2nd, 2021. Can't believe it's February. It's weird when that happens. And the second book I wanted to share comes out on February 9th, and it is called The Gilded Ones by Namina Forna. And here is the description. 16-year-old Deka lives in fear and anticipation of the blood ceremony that will determine whether she will become a member of her village. Already different from everyone else because of her unnatural intuition, Deka prays for red blood so she can finally feel like she belongs. But on the day of the ceremony, her blood runs gold, the color of impurity, and Deka knows she will face a consequence worse than death. Then a mysterious woman comes to her with a choice. Stay in the village and submit to her fate, or leave to fight for the emperor in an army of girls just like her. They are called Alaki, near immortals with rare gifts, and they are the only ones who can stop the empire's greatest threat. Knowing the dangers that lie ahead, yet yearning for acceptance, Deka decides to leave the only life she's ever known. But as she journeys to the capital to train for the biggest battle of her life, she will discover that the great walled city holds many promises. Nothing and no one are quite what they seem to be, not even Deka herself. And this is the first in a series, a fantasy series. And it's gotten really great reviews and has a pretty cover. The main character looks really cool. I don't read fantasy as much as I used to. I used to read fantasy like all the time. Like it was one of my favorite genres. And I feel like I've been reading more realistic fiction and historic fiction recently. So gotta try some more fantasy again. And I haven't forgotten the girl who circumnavigated Fairyland in a device of her own making. A ship of her own making.
You got close. Closer this time. Yes. Or to get it right every time.
Yeah. So that's still on my soon to read list. I know you'll believe it when I finally tell you that I've read it. Yeah, those are just a couple of the books. I think these two are both geared for teens, so a little bit older, but they both sound really good. And I am excited to check them out, literally check them out from the library and then read them. Yay. So do you all have anything you're looking forward to reading this month? Anything on your radar? Or even like a kind of book or story that you want to read?
I don't really know. Yeah. I just like to read wherever my mind takes me.
How do you all pick out what you're going to read next?
I just look on my bookshelf for anything that I haven't read.
I read last minute.
Yeah.
Yes.
Now I just select one of them. Yeah, I crack it open, just read.
Emily, I'm thinking of going to the library.
Yay!
Wait, I've been wanting to go to the library in COVID?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, don't you guys do appointments for where we can like look?
Yep, we do browsing appointments and computer appointments. And you can also, if you didn't want to come into the library itself, we also do both hallway pickup and we do curbside pickup. So if you tell us what books you want, or sometimes parents just say, I want books on this subject, or I want books like this.
You can also read on the right? You can look up your, that's how I've been borrowing from the library. That's why I've been borrowing so many books.
Just
look up my library card and read.
Yeah, so for those out there listening, if you didn't know, you can borrow ebooks and e-audiobooks and e-comics and e-music and streaming video with your library card from our library.
Emily,
do e-books too? And well, of course you could do e-books. You can do like e-music. I didn't know that.
Yeah, we have a Hoopla subscription.
Hoopla?
There's Libby and Overdrive or one. That's one. And then we have Hoopla and Canopy. So Hoopla has music and comics and books and ebooks.
Hoopla.
And Canopy has streaming video. But what's cool too, we used to have a separate app for magazines, for electronic magazines. And now it's all getting moved into Libby and Overdrive. So if you like to read magazines, you can borrow magazines through that app as well.
Really? That's cool.
I'm really excited because I'm a big Bollywood fan. Like I've been watching movies from India, particularly their musicals, although I like other films as well. But since I think I saw my first film in 2000, I think it was 2000. And so I've been watching them for 20 some years. And there's a couple of Bollywood film magazines that you can get through that. So I checked those out the other night, caught up on my Bollywood gossip. What the stars are up to.
Would you be really starstruck if you met a Bollywood star?
Yeah. I think more so than a Hollywood star somehow. I think it's maybe because a lot, especially the quintessential Bollywood, like musical action comedy, like they're just very like big and bold. And I think something about that just makes them like that much more stand out or something. I don't know. I mean, there's definitely some Hollywood actors and other celebrities that are American that I would also be like super excited to meet and probably not know what to say. And
my dream is meeting the kids, Bob kids, one day. Mm-hmm. That would be amazing.
Yeah.
Now, I know everything about them. If I don't mute myself right now, I'm going to start blabbering about every single thing about them.
So I would be more starstruck finding an animator and actually becoming an animator than actually meeting like a Hollywood star. To be honest, I don't really watch many live action things.
Do you know what the animators look like? Or would you just have to like have someone tell you that they were an animator?
I'd probably have to have someone tell me that they were an animator, but I'd probably be more starstruck because if it was someone that like I actually knew, like for example, like not personally, like I knew that what they looked like Jane Animations or The Odd Ones Out or Sashley, though she hasn't done a face reveal. But like, yeah.
I hope you get to meet an animator someday. That'd be fun.
Thank you. I hope I do too. And I hope you meet a Bollywood star.
Me too.
And I hope Georgia becomes a kid's bop kid.
Thank you. I don't know if I'm going to become one. I thought about auditioning one day. I spent months preparing the dance, but never the actual singing. So I just decided I'd be their number one fan forever. My dream is to meet them. I really want to meet them.
So we're just about out of time for today. But we hope everyone out there listening has a great week with lots of quality reading time. We'll be back next week to talk about some more books. Until then, happy reading.
Happy reading.
Happy reading.
Next, we have an interview from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
We're talking with Jamaica Miles, who is co-founder of the All of Us Community Action Group in Schenectady. We want to try to do a little bit more coverage of Schenectady since we have a station out there now. But Jamaica, why don't you just give us a quick overview? Why did you start of All of Us?
Sure, absolutely. And thanks for having me on today. So All of Us Community Action Group, actually, it will be a year on February 15th that we launched. We saw that there was a need for more organizing in the city of Schenectady to end all forms of oppression and exploitation that many communities face, especially the most marginalized communities. And very quickly, we grew with the lynching of Ahmaud Arbery and the public lynching of George Floyd. There was an even greater public outrage that we were already talking about as it related to police brutality in our local communities, Albany, Schenectady, Troy, Saratoga. We know how important it is to lift up the voices of impacted people because those closest to the problem are the ones most likely to have the solution. And so I'm glad that we continue to do this work and look for change, right? What are the policies, practices, laws, and procedures that need to be changed so that all people have the opportunity to thrive and not continue to struggle to survive?
Now, Governor Cuomo set up this process that municipalities are supposed to engage their community residents to talk about how to reform the local police department. And he, in fact, has cited Schenectady as a model of how this should be done. What's your assessment of how well Schenectady has put together their process, and what would be some of the possible changes you would like to see?
Well, it's interesting because Schenectady didn't think that there was a problem in the first place. We, before the governor came out with his executive order, we had put forward 13 demands, sent them specifically to the mayor and the police chief, and said, here are ways that you can create change to end police brutality, state-sanctioned violence, and abuse of power within the city of Schenectady. And the police chief was the first one to say, I'm not going to listen. So there was no support for creating change within the police department. and this idea that Schenectady is a leader based on one change that has been made, adding a different list of stakeholders as part of the interview process for anyone that wants to become a police officer, is not changing the culture and the environment of policing. Many of the 13 demands would create change that allows for safer environments in our communities, like an end on all chokeholds, strangleholds, knee holds, and hog ties. It was one of the first things that we brought up. It seems like an easy lift. So if we're looking for an example of a locality that is leading with the voices of the people, that's leading to create safety and wellness in the community, I would think that we would want someone that is listening to the people and not one that is being led by the two people who never thought there should be change in the first place. And that was the mayor and the police chief.
Now, one of the things I've noticed, not just in Schenectady, but many of these, you know, sort of police review boards set up under the governor's order, is that you sort of have the so-called community representation, sort of the, you know, the longtime black establishment types, community action agencies, the NAACP, the Urban League, a couple of churches, rather than younger community activists and particularly people, you know, from the neighborhoods that are most being impacted. Has that been the case with the Schenectady? And, you know, for instance, did the city reach out to, you know, all of us community action group and, you know, ask for some nominees for this process?
The city of Schenectady fell right along the lines of what you just spoke about. They wanted to put people in the room that already agreed with the status quo, those that had no complaints with the way that things were happening. Again, so if you don't think that change needs to happen, why are you in the room? If you're not impacted by what has already happened, how could you possibly come forward with ideas about how to create change? Now, the mayor and the police chief did not reach out to all of us. I was in communications with some of the clergy who were part of those conversations to begin with and said, how is it that the organization that's been on the ground doing this work for months is not invited to be a part of these conversations now? They then invited one member to be in the room. And that member, Michaela Foster, has spoken multiple times about the hostility in that space, about being silenced, about not feeling as if they have a voice. And even so far as when they said my pronouns are they, them, that not being respected. So even when in the room, when we have young people in the room, when we have impacted people in the room, we're finding that they're being shut down and silenced. And there is no equity. They are giving not even equal time to everyone. They are prioritizing the voices of the people that don't think that there's a problem and don't want to create transformation, but simply looking, what is the little bit of reform that we can create so the governor will give us our money?
Now, before I retired, for about 40 years, I ran various statewide anti-poverty, anti-hunger organizations. And one of the things I noticed that whenever, you know, I was reviewing annual poverty statistics, Schenectady unfortunately jumped up as having among the worst poverty in the state, particularly among young children. And of course, unfortunately, as in most communities, among people of color. You know, how has, you know, the city sort of responded to that broader issue of poverty, and how do they view that as factoring into some of the police related issues?
The city hasn't responded. The city of Schenectady School District is 13th in the nation for poverty. And when you factor in the United Way ALICE numbers that looks at the actual livable wage, right? Like how much would it actually cost to live as opposed to just the federal level of poverty? Our statistics jump even further. We're looking at 62% based on 2018 numbers, 62% of the people in the city of Schenectady are living in poverty. And the highest concentration of policing is in those impoverished communities. The least amount of resources is in those communities. This is a conversation that's been had. And the police chief and the mayor may mention poverty, but not any solutions to actually increasing resources to those communities. The mayor has brought up the fact that $75 million of buildings have gone up in Hamilton Hill, the greatest investment ever known in any time period. None of those jobs went to the members living in that community. There was no investment to eradicate the poverty. You simply put a fresh coat of paint on a problem and then said, hey, it's real shiny, but the problem's not gone. So the mayor and the police chief continue to simply perpetuate the status quo and say, oh, we're working hard for change. Instead, they're simply looking for reform.
So we've been talking with Jamaica Miles, co-founder of All of Us Community Action Group. You have about 90 seconds left. So two-part question. You know, so what would you like to see at this point in terms of the city of Schenectady moving forward with police? And if people want to get involved, find out more about All of Us, how best to do that?
Absolutely. We need to see that our city council steps up and is more vocal, calling for actual change and being a part of that process in a real way to demand transformation and not just reform. And to be involved with All of Us, you can find us on social media or by email, Untitled and Free. That's how you find us on social media. And you can send us an email, untitledandfree@gmail.com.
And you mentioned the city council should be stepping up. A lot of the city council seems to be stepping off, and I guess most of them are for re-elections. Is All of Us going to try to, you know, at least influence in some manner the new city council elections?
We actually are in the process of creating a community questionnaire that we're going to ask candidates to answer and share publicly, and not just the private ones they share for endorsements from different parties.
Okay, well, we want to thank Jamaica Miles for joining us today, and hopefully we'll be hearing more from Jamaica in the near future. And this has been Mark Dunley for the Hudson Mohawk Radio Network.
That interview was from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
Movies on the Radio airs the second Thursday evening of each month at 7 p.m. We'll be back on February 11th with Catskill-based filmmaker and radio producer Richard Sandler to screen and listen in on his film and video work. Meantime, check us out online at filmontmediaproject.org, that's Filmont with an F, or find the Filmont Media Project on Facebook or Instagram to stay updated.
Take some
Are you all right? What's wrong?
I felt a great disturbance in the force, as if millions of voices suddenly cried out in terror and were suddenly silenced.
Love so hazy, everyone's ideal of